is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Provincial Britain, a train station, a mission. The mission is Oliver Darkshire. His new book, Once Upon a Tome, tells the adventures, or the subtitle correctly, the misadventures of a rare bookseller. Once upon a tome, Oliver traveled to a provincial station in Britain on a mission off-site to look at a collection of books in the chance that there were rare books. That's an important distinction. Oliver, a hearty congratulations and a very good evening to you. Please describe what you learned as you got off the train and then sought your rare bookseller moment at a home that I pictured as having many turrets and lots of Victorian touches, but inside was a library. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. As I stepped off the train, it was one of those train stations. When I say in the middle of nowhere, I mean, there were trees, some steps to come down off it, and then no signposts, no directions, no town, really. There was a road, if you can call it that, with several roads spiraling off it. And I realized that, firstly, I should have bought a map or someone with me. I was too proud, you see. I wanted to... Every bookseller wants to find rare things by themselves. You want to discover them. You know, so I thought, how hard can it be? My first outing by myself as a rare bookseller, I'll find this house. I've got an address on a letter that was sent to us. and I'll find my way there, a short walk from the station, they said to me. So I got off the train thinking that I would find, directions on a map or something, or I'd ask around if there was anyone to ask. and I ended up wandering quite far out of my way, it turns out, actually. I had to cross through some, through the woods. I had to go through the woods. I didn't drive, you see. I made a terrible, terrible mistake. And a short walk. It was not a short walk. I'm not going to say they lied to me, but I will say that maybe it was shorter in their minds than it was in practice. It was more of a trek or a hike, really. Through a section of woods where there were trails. I called them trails more than a path. Unfortunately, you had my modern doodad, my phone on me to try and find directions when it was working. But really, I just walked in the direction that I thought was the right way, over through trails, across a disused railway bridge, down the other side through a cornfield, lots of crows, until eventually I stumbled across this house. And your description of it is quite accurate. I mean, turrets might be a strong word, but crenellations, I think. It was quite very tall. There were statues everywhere. Topiary, sort of. Somebody once had maintained these bushes at some point in the past. If you can imagine that they were once in the shape of an animal, but they've kind of outgrown.
Yes.
So they're no longer in the shape of an animal. I'm on a cloud.
Everything is screaming eccentric to you. And of course, that's a moment where you might have hit gold. There's always going to be the treasure that you're going to find that nobody else knew. Inside the house, you're introduced to a library. What did you find in the library immediately? Because you read it right away.
We walked into the room. They said, here are some books that this relative of ours has left behind. She's left three rooms full of books, several of them. Moldy French books was the first thing. I don't read any French. I didn't think to tell me before I got there, and they expected me to, so I didn't tell them, I'm sorry, I don't read French after I've come all this way. So I had to pretend to read French for about an hour in the first room before I told them that I don't really know what I can do with these because they don't have any covers. And there might be bugs in them. There are holes where bugs should go. I'm not sure where the bugs are now, but there were bugs at one point before they got bored. And they showed me through one or two of these rooms where they were rifling through the furniture. The main collection was, it turns out, was I would say spiritual works. And I say spiritual in the sense that they were quite sinister. Mostly about exorcisms and, how to rid your domicile of demons and, what to do in this event of a spiritual event.
At this point, Oliver, in reading your book, I had to make sure this wasn't fiction because I thought you were about to disappear and your friends would come looking for you some weeks later. And someone would call at Holmes and Watson's and say, you know, Oliver was a nice fellow and he disappeared into this house. The reason I ask you to tell this story is because I think you have just described your adventures becoming a bookseller. You went through winding paths and you wound up someone who enjoys a great deal telling the story of a very famous shop. Let us now introduce Henry Sutherland. Henry Sutherland's books, rare booksellers, occupying a treasured part of the London scene. I've never been there, but I've studied it on maps. Sackville Street. Describe it to us over the several hundred years where Sutherland has been there, Oliver.
So Sutherland's, you know, hops around London over its history, and it ends up in Sackville Street. They moved there because they were promised it would be redeveloped into a hotspot shopping location. They were the only business that moved there, and everyone forgot that it was supposed to become a destination. And so it kind of just nestled into the basement, so somewhere between 2 and 5. Nobody is quite sure which number it occupies, so we're now 2, 3, 4, and 5. And it kind of, it squats on the right as you head off Piccadilly into Sackville Street, occupying the basement and the ground floors. And it's been there for really as long as anyone can remember, as long as that building's been there.
It's right off of Piccadilly, so it has a lot of foot traffic around it. It's well-placed. Are there other rare booksellers in the immediate vicinity? Because I think you described 5 sandwich shops and a retro clothier. Are there other booksellers?
Yeah. There are some within spitting distance, in slightly more well-established streets, perhaps, or well-appointed streets, maybe. Peter Harrington's is down the road from us, and they said you can walk to Jarndyce from where we are, in theory. Mags Brothers was an area. So it's an area of booksellers, but we're the only one in our little area of Piccadilly.
Before we go into the shop at Oliver's first day, I want to spend some time talking about the strange roads of London. Can you drive to Sackville Street? And which way do you enter? And do you ever exit it? I've looked at a picture now. It's not a wide street.
You can try to drive to Sackville Street. And many brave men have attempted this in the course of history. But routinely, the local authority changed which direction you're allowed to drive up it. They've done it quite recently, in fact. And so there are always a lot of people driving the wrong way and getting stuck. Even if you can manage it, you'll get trapped in the one-way system, which you may never leave. So,
Do people park their cars half on the sidewalk and half off?
I'm trying to imagine
what it looks like on a busy day.
Sometimes they just park right across it, so it's just a barricade halfway down the street. They park wherever they want, whenever they like.
So to our listeners, they should consider visiting Sutherland's. But at the same time, they should park their car nearby and walk to it. That's the safe way to do it.
Oh, if anyone could park anywhere in London, I suggest you walk. it's the best way of doing that. The only real way of getting to a bookstore in the area is by foot. Very brave to take a car.
I want to mention one more detail about Sackville Street before we enter the shop. This is an extremely expensive part of London, isn't it, Oliver? Aren't we talking about, if you have to ask, you're not rich enough?
Obscenely. In fact, I don't think you could even, the numbers, you just hear static when someone says them to you. that's how bad it is. Thankfully, we're quite entrenched. But any building less courageous than Sutherland's, I think, would be faded away a long time ago.
And so we're looking at a very refined part of London with everything extremely expensive either to purchase or buy. But we're going to enter to the world of rare booksellers when we come back. The book is Once Upon a Tome. Oliver's described what it's like to be offsite. What is it like as his first day committing himself to being an apprentice at a rare bookseller in London? The Misadventures of a Rare Bookseller is the subtitle. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batman.